Fantastic. My name is Melanie Mason. I was born and raised in a small town in Macomb, Illinois. I moved out of there to the University of Missouri, where I received my Bachelor's of Science degree in Biological Sciences. While I was there, I funded a global health organization, and my passion for public health kind of blossomed, and I started a master's program in health sciences with a public health option at Western Illinois University, which is where I completed this research. And currently, I am at the University of Colorado Denver, pursuing my PhD in health services research. My research interests right now are more on cost estimation of public health services and certain preventive activities. I had the pleasure of doing this research entitled Online Social Networks to the Rescue, Fulfilling the 10 Essential Public Health Services with Dr. Maureen Besseld, who is here as well. She was a wonderful mentor throughout my master's program. You can probably deduce from the title that this was really pretty much an exploratory study that sought to understand if online social networks could fulfill any of the 10 essential public health services. So we went in kind of blind and just wanted to see what we could find. Neither Dr. Besseld nor myself have any relationships to disclose. All right, so in the next 15 or 20 minutes or so, I really hope you'll be able to describe the demographics of the average Twitter user. When Dr. Besseld and I started this research, this was one of the first things we looked at, and we were very surprised. The average Twitter user was not the type of person who we maybe preconceived. We also hope that you will be able to analyze how state health departments utilize online social networks. And you can probably tell from this objective that our primary focus for this study was state health departments, and to evaluate the utility of social network integration for state health departments. So let's start with a brief introduction, just talking about some trends that we've noticed in state health departments over the years. 60% of state health departments have reported mandatory furloughs and layoffs since July 2008. And even more, 91% have lost staff from attrition and have reported budget cuts. In addition, 91% of state health departments have reduced the services that they have provided since July 2008. So in just a little over 5 years, more than 91% of state health departments have reported that they have reduced the services that they have delivered to their community. So after we saw these trends, we really thought it was important for state health departments to find innovative ways to deliver these essential public health services, despite being in a time characterized by budget cuts and a low workforce. So to accommodate for these barriers, having less money and less help, state health departments need to look for low-resource ways to deliver these various essential services. So the purpose of our study was to determine if state health departments could use online social networks as a low-resource tool to fulfill the 10 essential public health services. Now, the 10 essential public health services were developed in 1994 by the Core Public Health Function Steering Committee. I know myself, I've seen the same chart on three different presentations today, so I'm sure we're all pretty familiar with these services. But just to reiterate it, since it's really kind of a main focus of our study, some of these services include monitoring health, developing policies, enforcing laws, assuring a competent workforce, and don't forget about research in the middle. And these 10 services collectively fulfill the three core functions of public health, which are assessment, policy development, and assurance, which you see in the periphery of that chart. So basically, we just want to see, can online social networks be a low-resource tool for state health departments to integrate into their practice and potentially develop and disseminate the 10 essential public health services through them? So we use Twitter as our primary data collection tool. Twitter is the largest and most popular microblogging site in the world, and it's free to access and free to use, as long as you have internet access. The reason we chose Twitter over other online platforms such as Facebook is because state health departments have a larger online presence on Twitter compared to Facebook. So more state health departments have a Twitter page than a Facebook page. Are all of you familiar with Twitter? Probably some, probably more familiar than I am. Just a really fast recap, just so you kind of understand the terminology that I'll be using for the rest of the presentation. If anybody wants a Twitter page, you go to twitter.com, create a page, and then you publish content in a form called tweets. And tweets are 140 character strings of content. Whatever you want to publish, you can publish. Now, if you would like to see somebody else's tweets, then you go to their Twitter page, and then you hit follow. So you follow them, and the tweets that they publish will be shown on your feed. So I'll be saying the word tweet a lot, and that's just the information that you publish on Twitter that's bounded by 140 characters. All right, so like I mentioned before, the average Twitter user really surprised us. 55% of users are 35 or older. 60% of users are female. Most users have at least some college experience, and the socioeconomic status varies broadly within these users. Like I've also previously mentioned, we focus on state health departments, and kind of the primary reason for this was an exploratory pilot study. We were just looking to see, are these even being used? And there are fewer state health departments than local health departments. So that was kind of our main focus in choosing state health departments. We could look at all of the state health departments compared to having to choose a sample of the local. So the first thing we had to figure out was how many state health departments are using Twitter. And we found 42 state health departments with a Twitter page at the time of our data collection. And we found these by three search methods. Our first method was going to the website of the state health department's webpage and then looking for a link to their Twitter page. And we found the majority of these pages through that search mechanism. If they weren't found through that way, we went to the Twitter.com website and used their search engine to search for the Twitter pages for these state health departments. And lastly, if they were not found that way, we went to Google and searched for the state health department's Twitter page. If those three search results did not result in a Twitter page for the state health department, they were not included in this study. But at the time of data collection, 42 state health departments had a Twitter page and were included in our data. So from January 7th to February 3rd, we conducted a retrospective analysis. So over that four-week period, we recorded all of the content that was published and posted on state health department Twitter pages over that time frame. And then we took a stratified random sample from those tweets collected and divided them amongst public health professionals for them to analyze the content. Now, there are two primary reasons why we chose public health professionals to analyze the content rather than Dr. Buzzold and myself analyzing it ourselves. Primarily, we wanted to reduce any researcher bias that might be introduced if we were coding and categorizing the data ourselves. Secondly, we are both in academia, and we really wanted to capture the opinions of people who are in the field. So we wanted the public health practitioners' opinions on whether or not they saw a certain tweet represented an essential service. So after all of the data was analyzed by the public health professionals, we conducted a frequency analysis, and we found that more than 80% of the tweets related to at least one essential service. So out of all of the tweets categorized, more than 80% related to at least one of the 10 essential services. Additionally, each essential service was represented at least once. And by this I mean that out of all of the tweets that were categorized, all 10 of the essential services were represented in there at least once. Some very high and some very little, but all 10 of the services were represented at least once. Essential service 3, which is to inform and educate the community, was represented the most in 44.6% of the tweets. Essential service 6, which is to enforce laws for safety, was represented the least, only 1% of the time. This graph really shows a good representation of our results. On the x-axis, you have all of the different options that the public health professional could have categorized that tweet. So, can you see the mouse here? Yeah. So from here to here, they could have categorized a tweet as fulfilling essential service 1 to essential service 10. They are also given the option to say that a tweet related to more than one essential service or no essential service at all. So you can really see in this pictorial representation, essential service 3, inform and educate, is by far represented the most in Twitter compared to any of the other ones. The next highest with 8.1% was essential service 7, which is linking to health services. And our lowest two, essential service 6, which is enforcing laws to ensure safety, and essential service 9, which is evaluating health services. So what does this really mean for us in the field of public health, or how can we use this in our practice? We believe that social networking sites should be more readily integrated into public health service delivery. There are already 42 state health departments with a presence on Twitter. The majority of state health departments do have a Twitter page. However, in our period of data collection, There were some state health departments that used Twitter a lot. We may categorize them as super Twitter users, and that they published more than 400 tweets within our four-week period. And then there were some state health departments that published no content within our four-week period. So there's a stark difference in how the volume of tweets published and the utility of how state health departments are using Twitter. We believe that the utility of online social networks is largely untapped. And to mitigate for this, I think the first step is researching the utility of online social networks, especially in our field of public health. The content right now is largely focused on health education. And I don't want you all to think that's a bad thing or that it's a limiting factor. It just may seem more appropriate to fulfill that service using an online social network compared to others. However, we do encourage that state health departments increase the scope of the tweets that they post to try to expand what they publish beyond the purposes of health education and information. And we think that 10 essential public health services can serve as an appropriate framework in helping state health departments decide what type of material they should publish on these sites. If you have any questions, I will answer the questions after the three presentations. So we're kind of doing things a little different in this presentation. But if you need to contact Dr. Bezel or myself, our emails are up here, and we'd be more than happy to answer any questions. And I look forward to your questions here in a little bit.